Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
All right, coming up at 5:08, we will drink a toast in the weekend with a shot of the day that it's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Shame on. Yeah, today we have a Mariners Big Dumper inspired Bad Choice Friday featuring the Black Eyed Peas.
So stupid.
I gotta read the lyrics to this.
You love my lady lumps.
I think she's talking about her posterior there, Mike.
I thought she meant her camel toe.
What you gonna do with all that junk inside your trunk? I'm gonna get you drunk, get you love drunk off my hump. My hump, 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 my lovely little lumps. Check it out.
I wonder if the Black Eyed Peas will be like Shakespeare 200 years from now.
Can you believe the depth of the poetry? Her lady humps.
Yeah.
Who would have thought of such a thing?
Your lady down, lump.
I met a girl down at the disco. She said, hey, 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 yeah, 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 let's go. I could be your baby. You could be my honey. Let's spend time, not money, and mix your milk with my Cocoa Puff. Milky, milky, milky cocoa. Mix your milk with my Cocoa Puff. Milky, milky, right.
I'm pretty sure that is Shakespeare.
Black Eyed Peas and My Humps take it on Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks away,
I can understand him.
It's sprung.
Yeah.
Vote now if you follow us on X at Men's Room Live. One of those two tunes going up right after we drink and toast with a shot of the day.
You think Mix inspired the BBL? Brazilian butt lift?
Oh, God. I don't know. He probably hopes not.
I don't know if he
inspired
it, but I think he made it okay.
Yes.
Our question today, what happened to make it a day you'll always remember or never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Warren. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Hola. Hola.
29 years ago, I met my wife on the CB radio, and it was the best time I ever had.
What exactly were you guys chatting about on the CB? Were you both driving trucks or what?
No, we were just farting around on the CB radio, and I didn't think that she would ever be my wife, but I'm glad I married her.
Are you still married?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So I mean, in your defense, I don't know that I think on the other end of a CV is an attractive woman unless I was in Nevada.
So who drove?
I absolutely would not.
Who drove to meet first?
Oh, she wanted me to come see her, and I didn't think that she was going to be what she was. And I finally went down and met her, and that's all it took.
Okay, boom. Love it first.
How long had you guys been talking on
first,
the CB?
Love it first, rubber duck.
Yeah.
Oh, not very long, like half hour, an hour.
Do you still do the CB hobby thing?
Oh, I've got one, but I don't do it.
All right.
You might be the first and only person I know, or you say, how'd you meet your wife? You say, oh, over the CB radio.
Well, the thing, people who do shortwave radio, there's a community there, and they talk to each other all over the world.
Yeah.
It is amazing, the idea that, you know, that wave can travel that far. And I understand how cell towers work and all that stuff, but we're talking about a radio wave.
And people do. They have like whole communities. We're like, yeah, I'm going to talk to my buddy in the Philippines on this.
Yeah, the ham radio thing, man.
I mean, I think nowadays with technology, it's just people do it on the internet or they do it while they're gaming.
Well, that's part of the reason that a lot of the ham radio, I just read an article today about this, but they said part of the reason ham radio won't go away, and I never really thought about it, right? You have the internet, you can game. There's so many easy ways to contact people. But I said with ham radio, you don't have to rely on infrastructure.
Yes.
They said that's the big thing, right? Yeah. I had friends at my house last night because their internet went down, but they're Hawks fans, but they couldn't watch it on Amazon, so they came over to my place to watch it, right?
Yep.
So there's a cell phone. You know, if your battery dies, it's dumb. But they said with ham radio, the reason it endures is just, one, there's the nerd factor to it. People like their communities, but also they said it doesn't matter what's happening in the world. They're always active.
That's one of the reasons when they were trying to kill AM radio. They said, no, you can't do this. It's got to be in cars because in the event of emergency, the power goes out, you can start your car. You can listen to AM radio. You can get these reports. You can get these updates. You can find out all these things are going to happen. It's the same reason that they say if you have an emergency kit, you need a battery-powered radio so that you can get updates in case the power goes
out. Assuming that there's anyone at the radio station to provide that information.
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
What happened to make it a day you'll always remember or never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
Can't really pull that off on voice track, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I think you have a better shot of having somebody in person on an AM than you do on FM anymore.
Look, the show you're listening to might not be in the city that you are in, but there's someone at that station making sure that you're
here's the problem. The disaster has more than likely already occurred, and you would be called in just to do those updates. Because I used to be on an emergency response team. Same exact thing.
I feel better.
The problem is that if you're in Tornado Alley or something like that, that's where you're screwed. You know, you can say, hey, this hurricane's coming. I can see this. We can get ready. We can evacuate.
Sure, we got days.
We have some time to get ready for this. It's the tornadoes. It's the tsunamis. It's those type of things.
Well, that's what happened to the other company with that train.
That was in somewhere Minnesota north. I think it was Minnesota. And yeah, I won't throw the company under the bus, but they had what I want to say is a 5-station cluster in this particular town, but no one was there. Everything's running on computer. That is fine. It saves the company money, which is what they care about. But then the train derailed. And the thing about the train is it was not a passenger plane or train. It was a cargo train. And it was carrying some kind of chlorine something.
Some kind of hazardous gas.
Right. So the problem was people hear the train go off the rails and go out to check. They drop dead. The fire department's called because there's a train that's derailed. The fire people start dropping dead. Then they realize, okay, this is a poisonous cloud. Well, let the radio stations know so that they can warn people not to come here. No one was there to take the call, so hundreds of people in this town are, like anything, they're going to go see the wreckage. You can't see this cloud, and these people are dropping dead or have to go to the hospital.
Yeah. What happened to make it a day you'll always remember or never forget? 206-803-ROCK, and that was my one experience of not. I mean, obviously 9/11 was a big deal for everybody.
Sure.
But, you know, the idea of being on the air when that was going on, And not being able to give anyone updates. We knew a plane was coming toward D.C. We knew it. There was nothing we could do. They would not send that EAS test off or the actual alert.
Yeah.
And that, to me, I'm just like, we had the manual out on the board. We've been trained on this, but we're still.
This is the moment.
We're ready to go, man. Surely they've got something to say.
Nope.
And it just hit. And you're just like, Jesus Christ, man, what are you doing?
And you remember who started providing the information about New York City at that time was Howard Stern's show.
Yeah.
That's the only time they actually showed that man respect because they were like, he's bad, he's evil, he's blah, blah, blah. But while the news people are freaking out and politicians are tight-lipped and everyone's going into hiding, Stern sent Robin down there to do her thing, right? And so she's getting actual reports, but I always remember watching CNN. And CNN, you know, going on about 9/11, it's still that day. But it blew my mind that they said, it has been confirmed by Howard Stern. And I thought, we're in an upside-down world now.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, I mean, that's crazy.
And my buddy was in Manhattan. So I called my buddy, because he was supposed to come down for, and I've told the story before, for Cal Ripken's, one of his final games.
Yeah.
Not the last one, but one leading up to it. So he's in Manhattan. I'm calling him like crazy, trying to get a live update of what the hell's going on there. And the phone rings. Phone rang a couple times. I left a voicemail at one point in time. Dude, call me back. What in the hell is going on? Now, I knew Chris was a day trader. I did not know he worked at the World Trade Center. I did not know he worked for Cantor Fitzgerald. He changed jobs every year. That's what they do. That's what those guys do. It's like, you know, it's like the tech industry. You know, you work for somebody for like a year and a half, and next thing you know, you're Facebook, then you're Amazon, Google, blah, 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 blah. He was doing the same thing. So I didn't know he was in the tower. But, you know, 10 years, maybe 15 years after this thing that happens, I saw his fiance in Morgantown. And I hadn't seen her, you know, since they moved to New York.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, Kelly, do you remember me? And she's like, Miles, you're one of the only people to get through on his phone.
Yeah.
Right. So she heard your voicemails.
She heard my voicemail.
Wow.
Yeah, they gave them to her.
That's a pick-me-up.
That was crazy.
Then where does the conversation go?
I didn't know. I did not know he was in that building. I did not know for a long time. I mean, until they started announcing this stuff. It might have been like 3 to 4 weeks before I found out. You know, that
it was a while.
Yeah, it was crazy. What happened to make it a day you'll always remember, or in this case, never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola.
Hola.
So, the year is 1987. We're at a keg party out around Lake Coeur d'Alene. Just got tapped. Underage kids were throwing the keg. Next thing you know, the sheriff shows up. Nice lady, another guy, basically shutting us down, taking the keg. My buddy, Dave, begs the lady, because we're of age. We're 19 at the time. That was drinking age.
All right.
Begs her, hey, we just paid $4 for our cups. How can we, you know, can we drink? Bugs her enough, hammers her for just a minute or two. Next thing you know, she got her finger on the tap. The other copper's punching, pumping away. It's flowing. She's like, well, you know, if this beer never hit the ground, I guess it wouldn't be so bad if that was the case. At that point on, there were about 8 of us there. I don't think another drop of beer out of that. That was a 15-gallon keg. She probably poured out about 2 gallons. I bet you 8 of us drank a good 12 gallons of beer in about 15 minutes.
Jesus. How did the rest of the night go?
It was great. All she had to do was make us promise we weren't driving anywhere. We were at this park out around Lake Coeur d'Alene. She made us point out our camping spot. So we like all passed out, hung out, and had a great old time.
When did the drinking age go up to 21? Do you remember?
It happened when I was, I'm going to guess 89-ish, right around 89.
Yeah.
So you kind of got grandfathered in, right?
That was Idaho. Idaho was 19.
Yeah, you got it. I got grandfathered in at the time. But yeah, that was a memorable experience. Nobody else I've ever talked to has gotten keg beer poured by a sheriff before.
That's pretty good. So when we were 14 or 15.
I was 16, yeah.
Our fake IDs were for 19.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the drinking age then. And then as soon as we got close to 18.
They bumped it up.
Then they made it 21. We're like, you've got to be kidding.
Oh, I was so pumped.
But my mom tells the story.
You could smell drinking age. Yeah. I mean, it was right there in front of you. And then they just yanked it away.
Because my mom tells the story about, like, it was 18 for beer and wine.
Yeah.
Then it was 19.
Then you had to be 21 for liquor. But I'm just like, that would seem hard for a bartender. Well, and, like, to me, it's like, what's the...
It wasn't national. It was by state.
It was by state.
So all states, I think, then at one point in time, they said, you know what, we're blanketing this. It's always going to be 21.
I don't know if this is true or not. My father swears when he was a kid, there was no drinking age. I was like, well, how old did you have to be? It's like, you kind of had to be alive and be around parents that didn't care. I'm like, what? Yeah. He's like, look, he doesn't know if legally that was the case or just the family and circle that he's in. But he's like, it's not like all the kids drank. But some of the kids, you know, like 12 years old, they'd crack a beer, you know, sit down with you and talk about whatever. He's like, I like Coca-Cola. That's what I wanted to get. But, yeah, he's like, I don't know that we had a drinking age.
Look, that is one thing about it. I mean, first beer, it was okay. I didn't want any more.
No.
You know, I was done. I liked the beer.
What was the beer that you had a first sip of? Mine was Budweiser.
Whatever my dad had in his fridge.
My dad, he's watching football. I was probably 9 years old or something. You know, he watched football, no big deal. Finally, I'm like, can I have a sip of beer? Because adults drink beer. So he's like, sure, man. And granted, it was Budweiser. But I remember I took a sip, thought it was the worst crap I'd ever tasted. But I remember telling my father, looking him in the eye and saying, Dad, I will never drink beer in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him laughing hysterically, like, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I remember being that age for my Uncle Tim's. It was probably like a Bud Light, but same thing. Like, all right, go ahead. And then you're just like, oh, this is awful.
Mm-hmm. So from watching Vacation, I just wanted to be like Rusty.
Oh, you want to chug one?
So my first beer, man, I just went, crush the can. Because I used to crush, like, whatever else I had. Root beer, which, you know, you burp like crazy, Sprite, whatever. So I was used to being able to chug a can, anything. Because I was trying to imitate, you know, the guy from Vacation. But, yeah, I just pounded that beer. My dad just looked at me like, oh, Jesus.
That's all right. Last year, my son's hanging out with a bunch of friends. It's during the summer. It's their last day of school. So they finished school. They're outside partying. I was like, Dad, I need to borrow your keys. I'm like, for what? It's like, we're shotgunning Fresca. Okay. Hey, and my wife's like, you sure? I said, look, man, they're going to do it anyway. At least it's Fresca. Let them get the technique down before they go to beer.
What happened to making a day you'll always remember or never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
It was kind of awesome.
Yeah, I remember being like 13, 14, and you're like talking to your buddy in the backyard who's going through a breakup. Yeah. And we would sip 2 liters like it was whiskey.
Right.
Like, you gonna make it, man?
Passing back and forth.
Yeah, and it's like, God, how stupid. I mean, I get it. You're a kid. You like soda, but just like, you're right. It's imitation.
It absolutely is, yeah. Hello, Matthew. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So, my Groundhog Day is kind of a long story, but we're in vacation in Mexico, and a buddy comes up and says, Metallica's playing in Guadalajara. So we take a bus ride from Puerto Vallarta to Guadalajara to see Metallica. And we go to the concert. And the great thing about Mexican concerts is they have bars in the stadium. We were in a soccer stadium. And they deliver the beer to you in buckets. Buckets of 10.
Yep.
Buckets?
Yeah. So, buckets.
Damn.
Little steel pails, whatever you call them.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, bucket.
Do they put the ponies in there?
So anyway, what's that? Well, yeah. We get hammered, and then after the concert, we go back to the hotel room. We decide we want chili dogs. So we start walking to the nearest 7-Eleven, and we get up to the store, and there's nobody in the store, and the doors are locked. So we sit outside, and we're waiting for somebody to open the door so we can go get chili dogs. About that time, a pickup truck full of Federales pull into the parking lot. They jump out, put us up against the windows, and start asking us questions. Come to find out that the clerk thought we were there to rob the store, so he locked the doors and called the Federales on us. So we get everything straightened out. We get our chili dogs. And then we decide we want to go to a strip
club. Okay. So,
you're breaking out.
Your phone's breaking up, man.
Uh-oh, is this any better?
There we go. Okay.
So we decide to go to the strip club. So we get out on the highway, and we got our chili dogs, and we're trying to hitchhike a ride to the strip club. And here come the Federales, the same ones that were at the 7-Eleven. They ask us what the hell we think we're doing. We're like, we're going to a strip club. So they put us in the truck. They give us a ride to the strip club. We go to the strip club. Then we're able to convince two of the dancers to come back to the hotel with us for a small price. And that happens, and so we spend a couple more hours at the hotel. They go, we sleep for a couple hours, we get on the bus, we go back to Puerto Vallarta and resume the rest of our vacation.
That's a pretty cool day.
Damn.
That was a great day. If I could do it over again.
Hey, Matthew, has anybody ever told you you sound like a guy named Jeff?
No, but they said I was a handsome man once.
All right.
Okay. All
right. Garlic.
What happened to making a day you'll always remember or never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
Did you have a hot one today?
No, I did not. Today I'm just farting for no reason.
So just because Mike's not in the studio, you decided Mike's to fart, go old school and just fart on Miles?
Yesterday was bad. Yesterday I just could not stop farting.
I'm just telling you, today might have been one of the greatest days of my life when I started out using that bidet.
Oh, yeah. How is that, man?
That was awesome. It was absolutely more than I ever imagined.
But how do you know when your butt is clean, right? So you're spraying your ass. You took a poop. You spray your ass. How do you know, like, I'm good to go?
I let it run for, like, 30 seconds.
All right.
I sat there, and, you know, it's like, ooh.
It is a little nervous when you got to stand up and just hope it stops.
I didn't stand up.
Oh.
I stayed up. This little stick comes out and just blows it right up into the gooch.
And then you just turn it off?
Yeah, you get a little knob on the side, right?
Oh, all right.
Okay, look. I don't know if you've ever had water blown at your buttons.
I've used bidets,
but it's a pretty good feeling. You're like, ooh, man.
Is the water cold?
I had to get a cold, Mike, because you can get it warm or you can get a heated seat. So what I was told was because of my hemorrhoid issues, like anything else, cool water is not going to expand.
Right, it'll shrink it.
It'll shrink it more so than open that up for blood flow. That's the last thing I needed. Just like a package of ice, you know, for swelling to go down. You could never put a heating pad.
So is the cold water super uncomfortable, though?
It's awesome.
No, it's refreshing.
It's unbelievable. I would just think
that'd be jarring to be, you know, all of a sudden, bam, cold water. Like, how cold is it?
You know, it's like the initial jumping into the pool, and then once you're in there, you're like, oh, yeah. It's just that, you know, like that quick little bang. And then you're like, but your eyes open up real big. Like,
and did you put it in your, the one in the main room or in your bedroom?
In my bedroom, yeah.
Now, but again, how do you know when your butt's clean, and do you have to dry your butt after you spray?
You do have to dry.
You still got
to
dry. You got to damp off. You got to pat off.
Just a little bit of a toilet paper, not much.
So that's your sign whether or not your butt's clean.
Do it nothing.
Really?
There's nothing on
it. You know, sometimes you keep wiping, and it's just like there's something.
It doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen.
No. I mean, if you got a hairy butt, this is the ideal thing to have. You just blow it all out of the hair. It was amazing.
What's the water pressure like on that thing?
It's awesome.
Is it stronger than a water fountain?
You know what I mean? Oh yeah!
Oh really? So it's hauling out.
Yeah, it's like a woman peeing.
Right,
just you know, or like that.
You know when you got like the hose out?
Yeah,
the old days.
And you got to put your thumb over it.
Right.
Yeah,
and it sprays it harder.
Right.
Think about it like that.
All right.
It's like the toilet's got a thumb.
I'm
on
telling
it.
You, man, it's a life changer. I mean, after I got off, I was like, all right, that is everything I've heard. That lives up to the hype. That does.
I'm so happy. Spray the back of your nards.
Okay, look, you can go back or front on the knob. So, well,
ladies need front.
It's also
for the front butt.
Yeah, for the front. Yeah. So you have that option.
The front butt and her back vagina.
So, you know, if you
could have a front butt, you could have a back vagina.
So, like, you can rinse off the jewel bag. You
yeah.
know what I mean, too, if you wanted to.
So, do you aim the wand in advance or is it a one fixed place?
No, it comes out. It just.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it. It just knows.
It's awesome.
Does it make noise when it comes out?
Just a
yeah.
Like a water pick, man. Just right. just.
You know, have you hit the front one time? Be honest.
Oh yeah, I'm telling you, man. I cleaned the whole. I cleaned the kit in the noodle, Mike.
I'd be scared to do the front.
Oh, it's awesome.
It might hurt.
Is water spraying out that fast?
I mean, you can turn it up, but
it's coming out pretty quick, dude.
All I know is I had to use the bathroom when I was here, and it sucked.
Oh. So I told you, MCTP has one, and it's ruined him on regular bathrooms.
Really? Yeah. He hates it now.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if you can get one, mine does not have any electronics to it. It basically just hooks right into the bowl itself.
Yeah.
It's called a tushy.
A tushy.
Yeah.
I think I paid like $200 for it.
Yeah. That's the one people get. Yeah.
Maybe. But, I mean, golly, what a difference. Anyway. Oh, what happened to making a day you'll always remember or never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
We're trying to 10 versus the FCC coming up at 4:35 right after emails on our question, what happened to make it a day you'll always remember or never forget? 206-803-ROCK, we head to Nova Scotia, Canada.
Oh, hello.
A diver had quite a story to share and show when he came back to Maine after a dip in the ocean off the coast of Nova Scotia. John Brooks and his wife, Luann, were vacationing with their neighbors in late August. Now, while there, John signed up to do some scuba diving with Torpedo Rays. My initial plan was to go there and just work on buoyancy for the most part. Well, a few minutes into a third dive off of Fox Point Beach, things got interesting. We're about 18 to 20 feet down in the water. As I'm sitting there, lying there actually, my buddy, my instructor, gives me a tug on my vest, my BCD. He starts pointing, and I look around to where it is, it's gray matter, whatever. Next thing I know, I see an incredibly huge shark. Now, that big shark was caught on camera by their companion, Kirk Yang, but it was very interested in John and his diving partner. Again, he grabs me by the vest, and we're kicking back. So we're both kicking back, and this shark is just circling us, ooh, coming in and out of the gray, in and out of the darkness. At one time, he comes over us, and you can see his jaws wide open. You can see his teeth. I'm thinking, whoa, this is bad.
Whoa.
And yet, John and the entire diving crew remain calm. What are you going to do? Hope you're faster than the guy next to you. That's all you can do. Yeah. John said he learned from another instructor during a dive a few years back that you should stay low if you encounter a shark. And that's what they did this time.
Stay low like how? What, like down toward
down
the bottom?
Down toward the bottom, all yes. Right. You tend to want to kick up, and as you're kicking up, you're making noise and moving water, and that tends to get their attention quicker.
Ooh.
Now, if you're low, from what I understand, they don't bother you. But if you go up, they tend to like to attack from below.
Yes.
So this is what I've been told. Not that I'm positive on this, but I've been told that. We're going to try out that experiment to find out one way or the other, though, and swim up. John and his instructor put their arms together, facing opposite directions to keep an eye on the circling shark as they swam back to shore. As for the relaxing getaway with his wife, Luann was waiting on the shore, having seen the shark fin circling them. She was freaking out, I guess. She was quite concerned. It's a dive they say John won't soon forget, keeping things calm and collected in the face of an apex predator. Whenever I think about it, I do still have that wow moment, for sure, as far as a lifetime experience. Our question, what happened to make it a day you'll always remember or never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
So that's what little John was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Get low.
Get low. Get low. Hello, Scott. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so this is the day that I lit my my D-28 on fire. I turned it into a Roman candle.
What'd you do?
Did you mean to?
No, it was a total accident. So you guys remember those buy and sell magazines back in the day? It cost like $1.99 over at 7-Elevens way before the internet.
I'm talking about it's like an auto trader?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, all right. Typically, they were free.
some of the time, if you didn't feel like paying for them.
Yeah.
So back in the day, I buy this $500 D-28 Camaro from Tacoma, and I'm thinking, this is a hell of a deal. $450 I wound up getting from the guy.
What could possibly be wrong?
Exactly. So it's got T-tops, it's bright red, the whole thing, but it is smoking like a SOB. And so I drive it from Tacoma, I get it into Seattle, my crib is in Marysville. It's getting really hot. It's blowing a lot of smoke, a lot of black smoke. So, you know, I'm 22 years old at the time. No big deal. We'll still just mash it around, you know, rip it around. No problem. So I go and pick up one of my buddies up in Smoky Point. He's one of those guys you're trying to, like, sort of kind of impress. You know, you're screwing around, whatever, whatever. So we hit about 110 in this Camaro. We're coming up on 88th Street, right where the Toledo Casino's at. And so there's a little decline after you get off this off-ramp. All of a sudden, we're doing 110. I punch it harder. We're doing about 125.
Damn.
The cloud of black smoke went from a cloud of black smoke to I can't see a damn thing out of any of my mirrors. Like, you hear this pop, and all of a sudden, it's black smoke burling out of this car. So I'm like, we clearly need to get off the road. This is a problem.
I'm glad you started piecing that together at this point.
Yeah.
So we pull off the road. I had just filled the gas tank that morning. So I got a full tank of gas. I'm parked on an incline, but the nose of my car is pointed down. Right. So I'm at a decent sized incline, right? My boy Chino and I, we get out of the car because we need to get out of the car. I take a look under the hood, well, underneath the car itself, and there's fire dripping just ever so slightly out of this car. And I'm like, okay, walk across the street to the espresso stand, you know, give it a little extra distance. By the time this gal had poured my Americana, this is a 5-alarm fire. This is a real problem. But the guy that I had bought the car from had put the hood release underneath the front of the hood of the car.
Oh.
The problem is I couldn't release the hood to actually give the fire air.
Right.
So that's the first thing that the fire department did. They show up and they chop the hood of the car off with the jaws of life. And that fire went from being 5.5 feet tall to, I don't know, about 38 feet tall.
How long was your car burning?
Oh, the better part of 15 minutes by the time they got there. I mean, it was completely total.
It's got to be gone.
Yeah,
I mean, 15 minutes.
History. Like, the whole front end of the car was completely gone. And everybody on I-5 is just honking and waving. And they're just like,
well,
what can you do?
How many thousand miles that car have on it?
150, 160.
What did you think? Why was it smoking? Did you have a clock? A cracked engine block or something?
The problem was is that there was oil pissing directly onto the exhaust pipe itself.
Oh. And
so this is obviously the type of thing you want a trailer in the first place. But back in my meth days, I didn't think like that.
You said your meth days?
That's right.
Okay.
The meth days.
That's the last thing that comes to mind.
Yeah. I think that should be a TV show.
The meth days.
What happened to make it a day you'll always remember or never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Kristen. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
So back when I was younger, I think I was like 10-ish, maybe. We just got back from a zoo. I think it was a zoo. And we got back to our apartment complex where we used to live. And I got out of the car. There were a lot of cars driving by around us when we got back. We were in the parking lot, and there was this huge bee. It was just flying all around me, and I was horrified of bees at the time. I still am a little scared of bees, but this bee came flying right towards me, and it like kept chasing me, so I ran from it, and right as I ran into the road, a car almost hit me, but my mom grabbed me back just at the last second before I got hit by the car. And that has happened, I think, like two other times.
What, that a bee has chased you and you've run into traffic?
Yes. I was horrified of bees all three times.
Okay.
What about now? A bee buzzes around you now. What's your reaction?
I'll probably just freeze.
Have you ever been stung by a bee?
No.
Okay, then how would you even know what you're?
I mean,
trust me, it doesn't feel good.
No one says it's awesome.
But it doesn't feel good, but at the same point in time,
it's the end of the world.
Yeah, it's not like life changing.
But then again,
it just hurts for a second.
You don't know if you're allergic.
You don't know if you're allergic.
Well, that's one thing for sure. Yep.
Bee stings, though. Last time I got stung by a bee, I mean, I forgot how bad it hurts, and I was lucky enough. I watched them sting me.
Yeah.
So I pulled out the stinger real quick. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there was still, like, 10 minutes where I was just like, oh
it hurts.
God, that hurts.
It definitely. The first time I got stung by a bee, because I've been stung by yellow jackets, not a bee. Finally got stung by a bee. And, of course, the first question is, are you allergic? I said, we're going to find out together. I have absolutely no idea. I'm not, which is good news. But I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know.
Dude, my buddy, the house we had in Montana had some big-ass bees. I don't know if it was yellow jackets or whatever, but, like, the third day, he's kind of limping. I said, what happened? He's like, I got stung by one of those bees. And I mean, it was like
a welt.
Yeah. It looked awful.
Well, the Montana bees are probably bigger.
They are.
You know? Right. What happened to making a day you'll always remember or never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Nick. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So I used to be a commercial fisherman in Alaska. And my first few seasons, I was doing this like old style of fishing where you live in a cabin and you go out three times a day on a little like 20-foot skiff. And so I was driving one of the skiffs. So it was me and one other guy. And I was basically the captain of the little boat, responsible for him. And, prior to that, you know, we'd catch sometimes 20,000-30,000 pounds a day. And my boss would let me take the nicest fish of the day, take it home, you know, clean it up, have it for dinner. And so the night before, we caught like a 30-pound king salmon. I carved it up outside the cabin, and I forgot to toss it into the creek, into the ocean afterwards, and I just left it outside the cabin.
Oh.
So then the next day, we go back out in the water, have like an 18-hour, 20-hour day on the water, and you know, I was working with one of these guys from Missouri that, you know, had a lazy eye, rotted out teeth. You know, alcoholic, you know, probably recovering drug addict, maybe not recovering, but.
You're really painting a nice picture about this guy.
Yeah. Sounds
you
like
know, the guy that opened up the Rolling Stone and said jobs in Canada or in Alaska.
Exactly. It was Crazy Mike. And
Crazy Mike.
You know, we're at the end of this 18-hour day and we're just dead tired. But he was the kind of guy who would get one of those weird, like, little kid energy spurts at the end of a day. And he starts bouncing around the boat and, you know, going crazy. And we're hauling nets into the boat, and the last 10 foot of the net gets snagged on the outside. So He, instead of just casually, it's a 9 foot wide boat. And instead of walking over and just casually unsnagging it, he leaps and bounds, runs over to the other side of the boat, trips and falls in overboard head first.
Is that the last you saw your friend from Missouri?
No. It took me like 3 or 4 seconds to, you know, register that, holy crap, Mike just went overboard. So I run over, pull him back on board, and we start pulling on that last 10 feet of web. And that last 10 feet, this like 450-pound shark had seen him fall in, swam up to see what the commotion was, and he got entangled in that last 10
Jesus
feet of web.
Christ.
So like from... So 2 feet in front of me, this shark is just, you know, mouth open, wide as a, I don't know, 10 inches wide, ready to take a bite out of Mike, who was thankfully already in the boat. But yeah, so that's what happened with that. And then we get back to the cabin. And, you know, I mentioned that salmon that I'd left out the night before. And so sure enough, I get back to the cabin and there's like a 10-foot tall bear outside. This is on Kodiak Island, where like the biggest bears in the world are.
Yeah,
Kodiaks.
Exactly.
Yeah, and this big-ass bear is just, you know, has this salmon carcass in his mouth, stands up, you know, 10 feet tall, is eyeing me down. And what do? I just whip out my phone and start recording. Thankfully, he already had food, so he wasn't very interested in me, but in the span of a day, came face-to-face with a huge shark and a huge bear.
That's a pretty...
That's impressive.
Yeah. And your methed-out buddy.
How long did you work as a commercial fisherman?
4.5 years.
And would you ever do it again?
Despite all the ups and downs and the horrible times, the bad days, I still miss it.
Really?
It doesn't seem like that's a very big boat for those rough or possibly rough waters.
Yeah, that was mostly inland. It was like kind of getting out into the ocean, but like if it got really rough, we just wouldn't go out.
Okay. What do you miss about it most?
I work on bigger boats.
What do you miss about commercial fishing the most? When you think back, like I said, plenty of bad days and all that, but like what are the good memories?
You know, the wildlife, the nature, the sharks, the bears, you know, catching. Just being out in the middle of nowhere, Alaska.
Is there a chance in hell you could get laid on Kodiak Island?
There was a chance in hell that I may have.
So you're one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, you know, we were based out of a little village that had 30 full-time residents and maybe 5 girls, and it got to that point.
Damn.
How did you make that happen, honestly? Did you just lower your standards, or, I mean, like, how did you do this?
It was a combination of me lowering my standards and the village bicycle just taking every chance you got with the fishermen.
Okay, it was your turn.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if you're up there that long,
the village bicycle. What happened to making a day, Lloyd's? Remember and never forget, 206-803-ROCK.
There's got to be something fun, too, about, like, catching money.
And, like, you mean as a cat? Right.
I'm talking,
you know what I mean?
To me, it's food. I love fish. I mean, I can't
I'm just saying for that guy saying he kind of misses it. Like, it has to be, like, sometimes I think it's just rewarding to be like, look, every time that pot comes over the rail, like,
that's money. Right.
Yep. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I mean, that's grinding for, you know, I don't know how many months, right? But, like, I knew a buddy that did it, and, yeah, he would be up there for a few months, then he'd come home and, well, spend it all.
Yeah. I know you watch Deadliest Catch. Did they ever find where the crabs went?
I don't know. This season, they're way out west.
The crabs are. So, like, closer to
the
Russia.
The boats are, yeah.
So, Russia waters.
Yeah, and they had to go. They're close, and then it seems like they had to go to some old spots that they had pretty much fished out and just are like, oh, let's see if they're back here.
Jeez.
Okay. What happened to making a day you'll always remember or never forget? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chucky. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, this one time, I had bought this lottery ticket from Auburn. And you know how in Washington State we have that app that tells you when you scan tickets, it tells you if you have won or not?
Yeah.
So I had scanned my ticket while I was at work because it was the following day. So I scanned my ticket and I didn't know that when you win a certain amount, it doesn't tell you on the app. It tells you just, you know, come to Olympia at the lottery office.
Oh, so it doesn't tell you the amount
of
money.
Over a certain amount, yeah.
All right, so you don't know how much you've won at this point.
You just know you're winning.
I'm here, you know, celebrating. You know, I didn't want to tell anybody, but, like, by afternoon, like, after lunch, you know, I called my girlfriend. I promised everybody at work, you know, and I even told my boss and everything. So I even took a day off, and I went to the office, and I had only won $1,200.
But still, it's still something.
It is, but like, right, if you're going to do the, hey, we can't even tell you how much you won.
Well, look. Well,
how much did you think you would won? Like, reasonably speaking, how much did you think you'd hit for?
On the app, because on the app, it tells you Washington State, you know, partial winner, one or two. So on the section, it said one. So I'm here automatic.
Were you playing like a Powerball or a Mega game? Is that why? Yeah.
Exactly.
Because it's a national game. So if it's a state game, I bet they have more control over telling you how much you want. But what does that mean after taxes? Like, so it's $1,200. What did you take home? 800?
Yeah, it was around there.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, look, man, it's worth taking the day off. If someone said, hey, look, I got to take the day off. Why? Because I'm going to go get $800.
I got $800 that I'm going to spend on whatever the hell I want.
Yeah, I don't make $800 a day. So this is worth taking.
Not to just spend on nothing.
This is worth taking a comp day for.
Oh, dude, that's definitely. We'd have to get dinner. But I would tell my wife, like, look, we're going to get dinner, but you know the rest of this is going to booze, right? I mean, like, we are going to the bar. And I'm going to drink whatever the hell I want. Because listen, it's free money. It's free money.
It's crazy.
It still wouldn't go.
Yep. A Chinese man went viral after spending almost an hour with his head stuck in a traffic light. A day he will never forget after crashing into it with an electric scooter.
Ooh.
The young man was driving his scooter.
Come on.
I know
the story, but it still doesn't get any less dumb.
And crashed into a temporary traffic light in the city of Chengdu. Following the impact, the man's head somehow became stuck inside the traffic light.
Say that city again.
Chengdu.
See, the way you say it, those Chengdu. Sounds offensive. I don't know why.
Okay. Chengdu. I'm with you. I don't know why.
How do you say it?
And I think it's more like Chengdu. Chengdu.
Well, where's the A at? It's Cheng.
Well, C-H-E-N.
Chen.
I'm thinking G. Chang.
Ching.
I guess
what about Chang?
Chang beer.
C-H-E-N.
The Thai beer. I know that's Chinese, but Chang is a beer.
All right, Chengdu.
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 Maybe it's the way you throw that do on it. Like, I was thrilled. It sounds when you said it. It sounded kind of racist.
It's a little Alex Trebekish. Yeah. I thought that's how we say it. In Chengdu. The city of Chengdu.
He's over in China, right? At Chengdu.
God,
I think it just sounds bad when white guys say Ching. Chengdu. Unless you're talking about Chingy, the rapper.
Right.
Now, following the event. Right.
Are you sure that's the name you want to go back? Right. Okay.
Chingy.
Whatever. Following the impact, the man's head somehow became stuck inside the traffic light, and firefighters were called to free him from the unusual cage.
We fight fires, not traffic lights, don't we?
That was kind of easier said than done. However, as even the first responders, they spent 40 minutes trying to cut this metal casing off the head.
There's no
man.
Way they weren't laughing.
Yeah. The man was then taken to a hospital, and he ended up making a full recovery.
Yeah, he was fine, other than the fact that his head was stuck in the traffic. Yep. Did you see the picture of
it? I did not.
Basically, he's laying on his side. He's just laying on his side, and where his head should be is a traffic light.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and the worst part is, the picture I saw was a color picture. It was on.
So did it keep, every once in a while, just bright, flash them red?
I don't know, but this thing, I'm looking at the picture, like, wait, the traffic light is still on, man. I have no idea if it's going from red to green, and he's got this thing in his head.
Is this the guy? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hey, keep it on 1 second.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. See, it's on. The traffic light is still freaking on. Well, it was green.
See, the thing
is,
this man becomes internet star in China after getting his head stuck in the traffic light.
The light is still
Jesus
on.
Jesus Christ. Okay, good test. All right, there we go.
Was there a hole on that side?
I don't know.
Or did he burst through the light?
Silicon, the exciting return of Ted versus the FCC is on the way at 4:35, and your email's coming up next from the men's room at KISW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.